Many religious groups have a document that is known as a creed. I looked that word up in the dictionary, and Webster says a creed is a brief statement of religious belief or confession of faith. A second definition by them is a specific statement of this kind which is accepted as authoritative by church. The New Testament does not have, as we look at its pages, a creed. It does, however, have the word believe, and in many instances, this word is associated with the things that Christians believe. This morning, we want to look at some of the beliefs that Christians have. The purpose for doing this is to yet see from another angle who Christians are. Christians are people who believe in certain things. Now, it seemed a little hypocritical to me to say that the New Testament does not have creeds, and then to come up with some material to say this is what Christians believe, because that, in my mind, sounds like a creed. So to be fair, I'll tell you how I prepared this lesson. I took out a concordance, and I looked up the word believe every time that word is used in the New Testament from the English. And after I did that, I surveyed all of those passages one by one and found the passages which describe a specific belief and worked from those passages. So really the material that's being presented this morning is not material that I randomly selected, but it is material which was in essence selected by the biblical writers because of how they constructed the references. First passage comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. As I went through all the references, I tried to put them in what I thought was a logical order. And the first one, when I think about Christians and what they believe, is Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is the starting point if someone wants to become a Christian. Here the Bible says, "And without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him," or that is God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him." A Christian is someone who believes in God. That is, we do not hope that God exists. A Christian is not someone who says that in their mind God's existence is very probable, but the child of God, the person who has truly been joined to the Lord and is a Christian, believes with all their being that God truly exists. I read recently about a man, Stephen Wolfram. He was in the news this past week, who earned his PhD at the age of 20. He started to teach at Caltech when he was 21, and this man is one of the leading computer science experts in modern times. He's come to the conclusion, and he's publicly stated this, that the universe is a giant but simple computer. And he's in a good position to come to this conclusion, and it's easy to evaluate because we use computers so often. And he's not the only one who has this view of the universe. And his conclusion causes us to ask this question. If what exists is like a giant computer, who designed it? Who was the creator? Who was the author? Who was the initiator? This proof, plus other proof, allows the Christian to do exactly what Hebrews 11:6 says. The person who wants to come to God must believe that he is. And we can do that. We can have a level of faith in God which is so substantial there is no room for doubt. And a Christian is someone who believes beyond any doubt that God does exist. Our second reference is Mark 1, verse 15. I'm only referring to this passage. If you actually want somewhere to turn to, I would encourage you to go to Romans chapter 10. In Mark 1:15, the Bible tells us about the importance of believing the gospel. A Christian believes in God, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but this is not the only belief that we have. Mark 1:15 also tells us that we need to be believers in the gospel. This needs to be part of our belief system. The word gospel means good news. Most know that there are all kinds of good news, and without additional information, we would not know what the good news of the gospel is. But Romans 10, verse 9, helps explain to us what the good news of the gospel is. If you found the ninth verse, let's read it now. "Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." In the first part of the verse, we read about Jesus, and we can make this point. When we think about who a Christian is, we would say that a person who is a Christian believes in Jesus. That is, we accept Christ as a character who really lived. He is historical. He is as historical as Abraham Lincoln, though we never met either man. The Christian also recognizes and accepts the Lord's position. In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul said he is Lord. We accept that and believe that. In addition to accepting these two items, there is a third belief in this verse. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, that Jesus has been raised from the dead. So if we want to sum up our belief in the gospel, Mark 1, verse 15, here it is. A Christian believes that Jesus came. A child of God believes that Jesus died, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he now functions, he now serves as the Savior of the world. Each person who is a Christian is fully persuaded about each of these items. We believe, Hebrews 11:6, that God exists and that he has enacted a plan to save mankind, Romans 10, verse 9. We further believe, because the Bible specifically says so, that this plan must be accepted as true. In Luke 8, verse 12, our next reference, Jesus spoke about the very message that's described in Romans 10, and also what we have in Mark 1, verse 15, the gospel. Jesus said that Satan tries to keep people from believing this message. He compared the devil's work to seed, which is planted on unproductive ground. In this part of the parable, verse 12, Jesus stated it this way, "And those by the wayside are they that have heard." And then he said, "Along comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved." Notice in this part of the parable that Jesus joined together belief and salvation. That is, if we do not believe, we cannot be saved. These two things are inseparably linked. God's word tells us what to believe. We need to believe in God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. We need to believe in Christ. We need to believe that Jesus came to the earth, that he died, that he was buried, and he was raised. So when we think about who a Christian is, all of these points come to my mind. Each person has certain beliefs in his or her life, and the Christian has all of these beliefs ingrained in his or her mind and treasure up these points in his or her heart. Well, these beliefs are important. They are essential, but how are they created? The religious world tries to instill belief in people in different ways, but God has his own way. God has his own technique for creating the beliefs that are described in the New Testament. In John 17, verse 20, Jesus spoke of those who would believe on him by words from the apostles. And these words became what we now know as the Bible. God's word is the basis for believing what we believe. In fact, in Romans 10, 17, Paul said, faith, belief comes by hearing. What do we need to hear? The end of the verse says that we need to hear the word of God, or we need to hear the word of Christ. God tells us what to believe, and he tells us how to create an acceptable level of faith. But he went beyond those two things. God also shows us how belief works. We find this demonstrated by example in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Acts 8 tells us about a man who was going home. He had finished worshiping God in Jerusalem. And on the way back home, still thinking about spiritual things, we believe, because he was reading the scriptures. He was having some difficulties, so because he wanted to do what was right and needed some help, God sent a preacher to him. The verse that we want is towards the end of the chapter. It's verse 37. We'll start with verse 36. "And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch saith, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 37, the Bible says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice that a preacher told this man he needed to believe. If he wanted to become a Christian, he was told, there are some facts that you need to believe. There is some information that you need to accept. There are some things that if you want to please God, you must acknowledge. Well, how was this belief created? As you go back to verse 35, the Bible says there was preaching. There was teaching. There was a message from the scriptures. He already believed in God because he'd been at worship, verse 27. He believed some of what was necessary, but to become a child of God, he still needed to believe additional information, and this was provided. And this is consistent with what we have in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and that hearing is the word of God. That's exactly what happened here. He heard the word of God, and he believed the right information. It's also consistent with John 17, verse 20. Jesus talked about the words that would be spoken by the apostles and the people who had been taught by them, and that's precisely what we have in Acts 8. Those who are Christians are people who have the same beliefs as the eunuch in Acts 8, because certain beliefs, certain points of information are necessary before someone can become a Christian. Well, the beliefs stated this morning are important, but they are not the total picture. As you look at this word belief and you find what it is associated with in the New Testament, you come up with some other information. In my search, I also came across Acts 15, verse 11. Here the word belief is again used. And this passage says, quote, "We are saved through the grace of Jesus." We need to believe, if we want to become a Christian, that we are saved by grace. It saddens me that I have had at different times people allege that those within the churches of Christ do not believe in grace. At different periods in my life and in the lives of others, we have been charged with believing in water salvation. It's been said that we believe in salvation by works and not by grace. The Bible says in Acts 15, verse 11, that we are saved by grace. We believe that. If we are a Christian, we believe in salvation by grace. We have probably half a dozen tracts in our tract rack which say, in one form or another, we are saved by grace. The man in Acts 8, he was saved by grace. Salvation by grace, though, did not interfere. It did not preclude or prevent him from obeying God's commands. One of heaven's commands is baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. Baptism is necessary because it unites us, it joins us with Christ, Romans 6, verse 4. Baptism is that final act. It is that final step which allows us to unite with the Lord and access God's grace. So when we think about the beliefs that Christians have, we must say that we believe in salvation by grace. We believe that as fully. We believe that as completely as anyone else. But we also believe in the other parts of the Bible, and the other parts add that salvation by grace includes being obedient to God's commands. When we think about what Christians believe, we must also say that we believe in equality. There's a lot of talk about equality in the world right now. People pay attention to that, and we should be at the forefront when we think about equality. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible shows that Christians believe there is no distinction in Christ. That is, no matter who we are. Christians see each member of the church as being on equal footing. We do not believe this because it has been decreed by some human authority. We do not believe this because it was ruled by some church council, but we believe and practice this because this is what we find in the New Testament, our sole guide. Now, the equality under the New Testament, we should say does not mean the sameness in roles. A company may have an equality policy, but that policy does not mean that everyone is going to be the CEO. The equality policy does not mean that everyone is going to have the same job. And that helps answer questions about, you know, who's going to be an elder, can we have women preachers, and so forth. Everyone is equal, but equality does not mean that each one is going to function in the same capacity. Christians, when we think about what they believe, we also must say they believe in an afterlife. In Romans 6, verse 8, the Bible says, we shall live with him. The word belief is joined with this thought, too. Christians believe in an eternal destiny, and they plan on being there. The hope is so sure and so steadfast that in Hebrews 6, verse 19, the Bible says it is sure, it is steadfast, and it anchors the soul. Christians are so confident, their belief is so unwavering in these areas that it becomes a stabilizing force in their lives. This stability is partly based upon a point that Paul made to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3. Paul talked about two things to the young man. He said, first of all, believing the truth. And then he said, knowing the truth. So when we ask who a Christian is, 1 Timothy 4, verse 3 tells us two other points concerning belief. We believe that we know the truth. And we believe that we believe the truth. A Christian is fully persuaded that he or she has the information that is right and reliable. We believe that we have found the right way to serve God in this life and to be with him in the next. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who believe that they have the truth. A lot of different religions, many of which are not associated with Christianity, believe that they have the truth. We are aware of that fact, and we hasten to add that it's not enough for someone to believe that they have the truth. We need to know, beyond any doubt, that we have the truth. And this knowledge can be attained. Earlier, I spoke of scientists who have compared the universe to a giant but simple computer. Computers are designed. Someone is responsible for making them. So as we realize that if the PC in our desktop has been manufactured, if it has been made, if it was impossible for that to just be thrown together by a whirlwind in a junkyard or something like that, then we must conclude that design on a larger scale must also have a designer. And once we are okay with that premise, and that is a legitimate premise, we are then able to ask whether or not the communicator has communicated with mankind, the creator has communicated with mankind. If he has, we can then begin to look at the sources which claim that it is communication from God. And this has been done. The creator has communicated, and we can prove that his communication, we can establish that his message is contained in the scriptures. And with that second premise intact, we can then know that if we believe and follow the scriptures, we're on the right road. Just as Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, we can believe and know the truth. And once we have that, another passage comes to my mind that's helpful. Again, it's associated with the word believe, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Here the Bible says the word of God works in those who believe. Christians are people who believe that God's word works in their lives. The word believe, when you look at it from the perspective of the New Testament, it points, by the very usage that was employed by the biblical writers, it points to many of the truths that Christians know and abide by. When we think about who a Christian is, a child of God is someone who believes all of the things that have been listed this morning. Not because I came up with them, not because the elders here came up with them, but we believe these things because these are items that are specifically associated with the word belief in the New Testament. If we are therefore a Christian, we need to believe, treasure, honor, and teach the points that have been made this morning. And we need to, when someone says, well, what do you believe? Not some creed book, not a statement of beliefs that we've devised, but what do you believe? It's right here. We believe nothing more and nothing less than what we have in God's word. For those who are not Christians this morning, we want to encourage you to think about the beliefs that have been given. The beliefs of Christians can be established beyond any doubt. That is, we can prove that they're true. We can establish to your satisfaction that they are right. And if that can be done, then it becomes a reasonable responsibility for people to accept them. And for those who don't, the Bible says that a time is coming when the unsaved will be separated from the Creator for eternity. If we do not believe in the beliefs that have been described this morning and live accordingly, the single question that comes to my mind is why? Why not? If they're true, if they're right, if we can establish that beyond any doubt they are accurate, why not live by them? That's a difficult question. And this morning we hope that you have given consideration to that question and you came to a biblical answer. There is no reason, just like the man in Acts chapter 8, he was given the right beliefs. There was in his mind sufficient proof. And he said, here is water. Why should I not be baptized right now? Why should I not access the grace of God by taking this final step? He'd been taught correctly. He knew the truth. And he wanted to obey it. Surely this morning, if you know the facts of the gospel, if you're persuaded that God's word is true and you want to please him, you'll take the final step just as he did. If you are a Christian and you need to have your faith re-cemented, if there are some things that you have questions about, we'd be glad to deal with those issues as well and help you in any way that we can. But we can know what God wants us to believe. We can believe them and know that we have the truth. Is there a way that we can help you to either reaffirm your faith as a child of God or to allow you to act on what you believe? These are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing.